Well, good morning. Scripture says that I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." You're glad to be here, right? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you again for coming. And thank those who may be watching online. It's great to be in the house of the Lord and come together to worship and to praise the Lord and to lift up His name. And we have an exciting service next week, one service. Many people are getting baptized. And I don't know if you have a desire to be baptized. I don't know if it's too late, Pastor Casey, to be baptized. So you can talk to him if you believe or feel that God is, you know, speaking to you about that if you've never been baptized. But we just think that is an exciting time and part of the church. This morning for our reading, we're looking into the book of James in the third chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 and read down through verse 12 of this particular chapter. James 3, verse 1. "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider how great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." Ending at verse 12. Father, we are so grateful for this time that we have come. We have gathered in this place to worship. We have come in this place to hear from you. And God, what would you share with us today? God, what is on your heart today? And we ask the Holy Spirit to direct every word that I say. I ask again that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, your will be done in this service, here today on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. There are many things contained in these 12 verses that we read. But as you can see, the title of the message is "The Power of Words." And we know that words are powerful. Even as we go back and read in Genesis 1, we see the power of God's word. When God declared, "Let there be," and there was. Just by God speaking His word, that which never existed before came into existence. We know that the Word of God says that His Word is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So we know God's Word is powerful. God's Word carries life with it. God's Word speaks of death, but God's Word is powerful and it is full of life. And you know, there is a saying that we've heard all years ago, at least to me, and I remember it saying it probably on the playground years and years and years ago. But if you've heard it, maybe you can help me complete it. And that saying is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, names will never hurt me. That's not true, is it? Absolutely not true. Sticks and stones can cause visible injuries. They can cause wounds, and they can cause bruises. But we know that those things heal in time. But how about those words that are spoken that are hurtful, are harmful, are derogatory spoken? They may not create a visible hurt, but they can cause a hurt deep within us. They can cause a deep wound. They can cause a bruise. That may take a long time to heal. That they may take a long time that we could recover from it. They may even, as those outward wounds have the potential to leave scars, that those words that were spoken to you or to me, to anyone, can and could leave scars on the inside. The hurt they cause or create may be more severe, healing more difficult, and leave deep scars. Has anyone ever said anything to you that it took you a long time to get over? Anything anyone ever said to you that caused a deep hurt within you, and there are scars from those words or that word still to this day? That's still possible. I ran across this story in researching this message, and the story was about a lady, an individual, that was doing battle in her life on two different fronts. She was showing a tremendous amount of courage in facing these battles and facing these things, these issues in her life. And the number one battle that she was facing was the fact that she was a recovering alcoholic. And she was doing all that she could to overcome that. But secondly, she was raging an uphill battle. She wanted to restore and renew her relationship with God. She wanted to start over. She wanted her life, she wanted to find a new beginning for her life, to start over. And sometimes it's hard to start over. Sometimes it's really hard to have to start a new beginning. And sometimes it's hard, even harder, to start over when people won't let you. Sometimes people won't let you forget your past. Sometimes it's brought up, you know, about things that you may have done, things that I may have done that people bring up. And sometimes it's hard for people to forget. But we serve a God that has given us His word that He will forget. The Bible tells us that God will remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. He will bury them in the sea of forgetfulness, and He will remember them no more. God will never bring up your past. God will never bring up my past. It is forgiven and it is forgotten. But with human beings, that is not always true. Sometimes, again, that people may not let you forget your past, where you've come from. You may have made great progress, but people still remind you of what you did or you used to be. Thank God that we can be new creations in Christ. All things, old things are washed away. All things become new. But she was trying to start over. She was trying to get her life together. She was making every effort to do that. And in her choosing to proceed with that, there was a small local church near where she lived, and she made a decision one day to go to church, and because she knew some of the people or many of the people that went there. And she had, in her going, she had hope that she would be received warmly, that she would be welcomed as she went. But as she parked her car and as she walked to the front door and as she got near to the door, there was some people standing there, and in their conversation, whether they meant for her to hear it or whether they didn't mean for her to hear it, she heard it anyway. And the comment was made is, how long is that alcoholic going to hang around here? How long is that alcoholic going to hang around here? We have to understand as the church, as the body of Christ, that when people come, everybody's not going to come all cleaned up. Everybody who enters our door is not going to be on fire for God, and they're living their life rightly, and they're doing everything right, and they have no issues, they have no problems, they have no things to hide, so to speak. People come into the church with different issues, and they could be led by the Holy Spirit to come, and they come hoping to find answers for their problem, for their hurt, to find acceptance, to find mercy, to find love. I mean, that's what we're to be about. And so she came. She never made it inside. She heard that remark. She turned, walked back to her car, and left, never to enter the church again until she died. Once those words go out, you cannot take them back. Once you speak something out, you cannot take it back. Would those folks have taken back what they said if they could? I don't know. Hopefully they would have, but it was too late. The hurt, the damage was done. Like the internet, once you put something out there, it's out there. I knew a fellow one time that he loved Facebook. And he always put stuff on Facebook that didn't make sense to me. And he always put, every summer, he always would put on Facebook where they were going on vacation, when they were leaving, and when they were coming back. Now, to me, that was just plain dumb. Hey, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be gone this week, these 2 weeks. Help yourself. But James begins this chapter by addressing those that have a desire to teach. But he also gives them a warning. He also gives them a caution that there is a great responsibility to those who aspire to be teachers. There's a great to whom much is given, much is required. You're held to a higher standard to those who may not be teachers. The Message Bible says, don't be in a rush to become a teacher. We find that teaching was a highly valued and respected position in Jewish culture. Many Jews who embraced Christianity wanted to become teachers. But James' warning was, although it was good to desire to do that, you were going to be held to a higher standard. There was going to be much required of you. It is a highly respectable work. Teachers have the ability to instill knowledge and the power to influence in the things of God and the things of the world. teachers can teach knowledge, have the power to influence other people, children, youth, adults. And I thank God for teachers. Thank God for everyone that's here in this church that is involved in teaching. Children, youth, adults, whatever. Thank God for good teachers that feel a calling to do that. Thank God for good teachers in public schools. We have some wonderful teachers in the public school system. But I think sometimes there's a couple scoundrels in there. Some of the things that as young people go away to college and they leave, maybe being raised in a, you know, Christian home or religious home, or just going away to college, to some liberal college. Some of the things they're being told and taught to me is scary. They put down America and exalt other things. We cause confusion in the minds of our young people. We hear different things today, coming from all directions. Even in the church, we hear of all kinds of things. But the Bible says that with the things that we hear, we are to test the Spirit, test it against Scripture. If it doesn't line with Scripture, don't adhere to it. Don't pay any attention to it. Throw it away. The teachers do have a lot of influence, or are able to influence children today. But James goes on to illustrate how small our items, even though they're small in size, have the ability to do great things, to do large things. He says that you can take a small bit, put it in the horse of a mouth, and you guide that large animal wherever you want it to go. I remember the one and only time that I ever rode a horse. And my parents rented, and the place that we were renting at that time, the owners had two horses, and they would come out every so often and ride the horses. And we were out, my sister and I, we were out one day, and they said, "Hey, would you like to ride a horse?" Well, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. The only thing I'd ever been on would be on the merry-go-round where you hold on to the pole. Man, I could ride that thing all day. But this thing, they put me on a horse bareback. And when I got up there, I looked down, and that's a long way to fall. And my time remaining on riding a horse was about as long as me trying to water ski. It was like 10 seconds. I mean, the horse took off and I was kissing the ground. And that old saying, "Well, you need to get back on the horse." No, we don't either. We don't have to get back on that horse. You know, I got a head up here and a brain. I ain't getting back on that horse. But my water skiing experience wasn't any better. We used to take the youth from here to Racetown. And Ray Gibble would go along, and Fred Stollemeyer would go along, and some of you people know them, of course. And we'd get to water skiing, and I'd get in the water with my skis and down with hanging onto that cord, that rope, and come up out of the water. And I thought, "Hey, this is cool, man." And boom, down I go. I wasn't very good at that at all. But the small bit in a horse's mouth, you can guide that large animal. And even he says a small rudder can steer a large ship wherever the pilot wants it to go. And even a small spark, even a small match can cause great devastation. Of all of those large fires in the Midwest or wherever they are that cause great destruction, thousands and thousands of acres. was set by one spark, one match. That one small thing caused that great disaster, that great devastation. But likewise, the tongue is small but has great power to build up or tear down. Now, this member of the body that's in our mouths is small, and it can do great things. It can do good things. We use it to speak. We use it to swallow. We use it to taste. And you've probably tasted things that were, that is good. That is so good. And then there's things where you take a bite and you think, you look for places to discard it. So there are some truly good things that this tongue is used for. But it can also be very destructive. Very destructive. The book of Proverbs contains many verses about the words we speak. And Proverbs 13:3 from the New Living Translation says, "Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Practice self-control." Those times that we want to say something, that something ought to be said, and we just feel like, I need to say it. And that may be true, but there are times where you feel like you ought to say something when maybe we need to be quiet. Because it says, "Those who control their tongue have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything." We can be quick to open our mouths and give our opinions and tell people where they're right or whether they're wrong. Offer your opinion when they don't even ask for it. And that sometimes we may say the right thing at the right time, but there are times where we say the wrong thing at the wrong time. So we have to be sensitive to when and where and what God is leading us to say. In Proverbs 15:4, it says, "Gentle words are a tree of life." Gentle, loving, kind words. They're a tree of life. They encourage people. They encourage spouses. They encourage our kids. They encourage our teachers. We are to encourage one another. But a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. A deceitful tongue, an untruthful tongue, a tongue that is filled with griping, brings nothing but discouragement. In Proverbs 21:23, it says, "Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble." Sometimes that's very true. We want to say anything. We want to say something. We don't consider the consequences and that we have the right to voice our opinion when it's not asked for. Maybe we just need to chill. Maybe we just need to hold back those times where we want to blurt out whatever we feel needs to be said. Our words can be much more impactful than what we think or even want to admit. Our words, like our deeds, carry consequences with them that can be either positive or negative. Words for our spouses, words for our kids, words of encouragement, words of thanks, words that build up, words that we encourage our kids. You know, our kids, you know, hey, you're going to do great on this test today. You're going to do great in this game tonight. Don't you worry about that. You're going to do great. Or, you know, you're a terrible student. I don't even know why you study. I don't know why you went out for that team. You're no good. Words that tear down, words that destroy, words that discourage. We're forming and shaping lives of individuals. We have to be careful of what comes out of our mouth. It has a positive or it has a negative response with it. In Proverbs 18:21, it says the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The tongue has the power of life and death. There's consequences to it. An individual with their words has the ability to speak life-giving words or words of hurt and harm and ruin. Words that lift people up, not words that are condemning, criticizing, murmuring. And sometimes that's so easier to do than to speak positive things. Why did the nation of Israel wander for 40 years? Didn't they have GPS to get them to their destination? They wandered 40 years because of all of their murmuring and complaining, all their griping, criticizing. Paul writes about that in Corinthians, and he tells believers today, learn a lesson from that. Don't be full of murmuring and griping and complaining. Speak words that are positive. Speak words that are uplifting. Speak words that strengthen and encourage one another. We must understand that words are powerful and they can inspire positive or negative responses. They can. Words can bring discouragement, hope, confidence or blessing, or they can bring ruin, despair, and discouragement. Words not only affect others, but also what we speak about ourselves can also inspire positive or negative responses. Did you ever listen to yourself, how you speak about yourself? And did you form those thoughts about yourself because of what people have spoke over you or into you? I can't do that. I'm no good. I'm not worthy. I'm not this. I'm not that. We look at so many things and say, I'm not this or I'm not that. By whose standards are you? Your own standards? What we need to do is get into the Word of God and begin to speak in our lives and over our lives how God thinks about you, what God says about you. What who God declares you to be. That you have to understand that you are highly favored in God's eyes. No matter how talented you are, or no matter how, you know, that you may not be able to do many things. You may be only able to do one thing, but that one thing, I encourage you to do it right. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. But what does God say about you? You are among the beloved. You are highly favored. That's what Angel Gabriel told Mary when he approached her. Greetings, highly favored. Wow. You are highly favored. You have a purpose with God. God has a purpose for you. You are important to God. You have value to God. Jesus says that in Scripture. That God sees one sparrow that falls to the earth. He provides for that. How much more valuable to God than that you are than many sparrows? You have great value to God. So start declaring that over yourself, over your family. Speak blessings on your family. Speak blessings over yourself. Listen to yourself how you talk about yourself. I'm no good. No, in God's eyes, you are. As I said last week, you were worth saving. In God's eyes, Jesus came and proved that. You have value to God. You are a child of God. We looked at that in our lesson this morning in Sunday school, 1 John 3:1. Now you are the children of God. today. At 11:40, you are a child of God. You are special to Him. You are blessed. You are highly favored. Begin to declare that over yourself and your family. In Psalm 141, verse 3, kind of a prayer of the psalmist, he says, "Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips." God, take control of this mouth and this tongue. Guard my lips, that I may not say things that displease you, dishonor you, discredit you, or anyone else. Put a guard on these lips. Take control of what I say. I have a Bible at home that I read sometimes, and at the bottom of it, there's some footnotes. And this one I thought was an interesting statistic. It says, on the average, a person opens his mouth approximately 700 times a day to speak. Now, I had a guy after the first service tell me his was $6.99. 700 times a day to speak. What do we say in all of that? I know individuals that have very little to say. And if you want to have a conversation with them, you have to initiate it and you have to keep it going. And then on the flip side of that, I know some people that you just think, and we've told them because we are close to them, we say, won't you just please stop and take a breath? And they just talk and talk and talk and talk. And talk. And then you want to say, please. But what words come out of our mouths? Words that are edifying and uplifting. Words that are critical. Words that are hurtful. We just read here, with the tongue we praise the Lord, and with it we curse men, or talk down to men, blaspheme men, criticize people. It shouldn't be. It should not be. In closing, there's a prayer that I found, and it pertains to Proverbs 18:21. And it says, "Grant me, O Lord, the discernment to speak life into dry places." You know, if you want to, in that relationship, if you want to pour fuel on the fire, so to speak, speak words of encouragement and hope, words of appreciation. You know how easy it is just to say thank you once in a while to somebody? Practice that. Thank you. Speak life into dry places. To use my voice for healing where there is hurt, and for encouragement where there is despair. Dear people, we are living in a time where there is much despair. May my tongue be an instrument of your peace, speaking truth, wrapped in love, sowing seeds of your goodness in every conversation. In every conversation. Words are powerful. Words that are spoken either have one or two responses. They are uplifting or they will tear down. Two responses, positive or negative. Let's be cautious. Let us be discerning. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide our speech, to guide our words. Set a guard on my mouth, on my lips, that I may speak the right things at the right time. Father, we are so grateful today for your love, and God, for your instruction in your word, and that you have given us your word. And God, sometimes your words are easy to swallow, easy to digest. And then sometimes, God, your teaching is a little more difficult. But God, it's there for a purpose. And we thank you for your word. And now, Father, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would help us. Help us to, God, be attentive to saying the right things at the right time. That we would speak words that encourage and uplift, not words that we find to be murmuring or complaining or even gossiping. God, we thank you today for your wonderful blessing. Thank you that we are greatly blessed and highly favored. And we praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.